Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good. And all the time, we also know, believe, and hold to the truth and fact that Jesus Christ gave us three commands, and that we are under his control, we are under the dispensation of grace in the church age, that we are to love God, love others, and go, thereby summing up the entirety of the scriptures. And today, as we understand where we're going and looking into the future and hoping and praying that God would guide us, there are some things that I need us to look at as a congregation to understand why our world is so messed up and what we need to do to bring that into a place where there is a certainty of hope, that there is a certainty of the power of God, and that we will see his grace, his glory, his goodness, his power, his righteousness, and all the other attributes of our Father, who is Yahweh, the great I Am. And today, as we look at our world and I think about what's going on out there, have you ever noticed, you know, then Scripture speaks of this, that there was a time in Israel, there was a time in the world pre-flood where everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Do you see that happening in our world today? It's, you know, whatever makes you happy, you go ahead and you do that. And what we end up with is the chaos that we see in our world today. As a nation, when we marched together, when we held high the statutes that are the precepts and principles of our founding as a nation, our nation flourished. Our nation grew. Our nation became the greatest nation in all of the world. And today you can't tell the difference between us and a pagan third world country. Why? Because something happened. Something happened that is disgraceful. Something happened that is so, to me, alien that I don't know why such a thing would happen. And folks will look at me and they'll say, well, how can you say you know what it is? Because it's one thing. It's one thing, and that's all it is. We have lost, as a people, as a community, and I'm talking world community, we have lost the fear of the Lord. Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and he hasn't come back. Well, then he's never coming back, so this thing must be fake. Folks, do you realize that when God created the world, it took him almost 2,000 years before he flooded it and destroyed it. And then he rebuilt it again for another couple of thousand years until it got to the point where Jesus had to come because it got so bad, the fullness of time had come in. Now here's the way. Now, here we are 2,000 years later. Now, we know the number 7 is the number of perfection, correct? That's God's number. Okay, so if the number of 7 is perfection, and we also know that according to Scripture that, you know, God uses 7s in many wonderful ways, how many millennia do you think God may have for this world? I think it's 7. And if we've already gone through 6, how many does that leave us? And I think the millennium lasts for 1,000 years. How close are we to the beginning of the millennium and the end of this dispensation? I think we're here. A lot of people don't want to hear that. A lot of people were like, hey, well, you don't know the day or the hour. I ain't talking about day and hour. I'm talking about time. Okay? I'm talking about time. We are in the end of time for the world to find repentance. And why aren't they? Why is our world falling apart? Why is the church empty? It's because there's no fear of the Lord. Even within the very pews of the church, there is no fear of the Lord. We adulterate this book at our leisure. We take things out of it. We change things in it. Because there's no fear of doing anything. Well, because he hasn't done anything for 2,000 years. You know, in the Old Testament, it said all this stuff would happen and all that stuff would happen. And, you know, and God was a mean ogre and it was terrible and it was horrible. But then Jesus came and now we're all happy and everybody can just kumbaya and get along. We're in Jonestown. Just down the road is a little place called Fredericksburg. Ah, wrong chicken. You and I need to understand God is giving us the ability to choose. And as Pastor David has taught us, are you willing to take the consequences of your choices? Because that is what's going to happen to all of us. Can I get an amen? We need to understand we will suffer the consequences of our choices. And right now, our world is making a pretty arrogant stand that God, there's just not enough proof. I watched a couple videos over the last couple of weeks, and this one young lady, she's an American, and she was talking with a Christian who was trying to evangelize at a college, and this gentleman asked her, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? And she said, no, I don't believe any of that. He says, well, can I ask why? She says, well, she said, I just don't think there's enough proof. There's not enough proof that God exists. Well, evolution says this, and she went on, you know, she gave her defense of her point. And I, sitting there as a pastor in the background watching this thing, I'm thinking to myself, you know, and I'm a pretty simple man. Right? You all know me. I'm a pretty simple man. I'm a redneck from Glen Rock, Pennsylvania, hence the accent. Okay? I didn't grow up with a big education. I grew up a poor boy from a small family and who had little to nothing. But the one thing I did have was a sense of awe about our world. I mean, when I look around and I see everything in this world, it tells me that somebody had to make it, okay? I mean, how do I know that? Well, have you ever seen a car put itself together? You know, I think it's cute, you know? We have these computers now. How many of you lived through the age of no computers and now we're in computers, right? You know, if you did, you know, like I do, that the computer that supposedly got the astronauts to the moon was the size of a building. Today, that same computer, that power of that computer, we actually wear in wristwatches on our arms. That's how far the technology has advanced. And that computer just happened to come together, right? No, it took an inventor. It took people to put it together. When I look at our world and you know, let's look at this altar. Let's look at this building. Let's look at everything that is. And we know somebody built it. It didn't just happen. And I think about something as simple as an ant colony. An ant colony. How complex is an ant colony? We think, oh, they're just stupid, dumb critters. The complexity of an ant colony is actually more complex than human fellowship. Because they think with one mind. How are we doing on that? See, that's the whole point. We want everybody to think with my mind. Isn't that what we do? We don't think of the common good. And I yet, you know, I wonder because these scientists are out there and they say, oh, well, everything evolved. Can you imagine? How in the world did we get around while the eyeball was being developed? How many millions of years did it take for that to happen? Okay? You know, I think about where these things are, and we have, by the powers and principalities, remember, we fight not against flesh and blood, we fight against powers and principalities. How far have they deceived us? And we have literally bought the lies. As a society, as a people, as a pastor. And yet we wonder, why is everything messed up? You know, I walk with Jesus and things are still messed up in my life because our world is still messed up. We are still messed up. None of us are perfect. We haven't figured any of this out. We think we have, but I dare to tell you, there's so much we don't know and don't understand that when we get to glory, and for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we will get to glory, our eyes are going to be open to things and we're going to go, and there's no wonder we're going to praise him for all eternity. We won't be able to stop. But I want you to hear something. Do you realize right now, you know, I think it's funny. God says that he will be eternally praised. That's what we're told in the scriptures. When we get to heaven, we're going to praise him for our nonstop. Do you know what happens in heaven for 1.5 hours? Total silence. Wait a minute, he's the eternal God. He'll be worshiped forever. That silence is worship. But that silence is the anticipation of the fear of the Lord. Because God's getting ready to do something, and you and I are getting ready to walk into it. In your Bibles, I had you turn to Psalm 111. Please look there and let us read the word of the Lord as he has brought it to us. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. In the company of the upright, in the assembly, great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. He has made known to his people the power of works in giving them the heritage of the nation. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. They are upheld forever and ever. They are performed in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commands. His praise endures forever. And then continuing on into Psalm 112, praise the Lord, how blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment, for he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil things. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. He has given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. The wicked will see it and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Can I get an amen? When we read these words, there are some things here that resound to us. It is said here twice, three times to us. And if God says it once, it's important. If he says it twice, and if he says it three times, we understand how God operates. And three times in these two Psalms, God has told us that we are to have the fear of the Lord in us. And I've heard people say, oh, that doesn't mean we're afraid of him. That means we revere him. And then we all know what that means. We get to do whatever the flippant we please and say, Jesus covers it all. And no, I'm not blaspheming. I'm speaking the exact way the world operates. I'm speaking the way much of the church operates. And I pray not this church, that we believe that this word in its entirety, given to us in its original autographs, now kept through all the translations, good study, and devout research, we have the fullness of the word of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And we live by it, for it is he. What? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word
is
God. You and I hold fast to that. We know that, and we fear the Lord. Yes, I am afraid of the Lord. But pastor, how can you be afraid of the Lord? Oh, don't you love him? You know, his love is abounding. Yes, I do love the Lord, and I know his love is abounding. But I fear the Lord. He broke my hip. He broke my leg. Why? Because I was stupid. And I disobeyed him. Well, you know, are you sure that was an accident? Well, let me tell you about 7 heart attacks and 14 pulmonary emboli. Huh? Yeah, 14 blood clots in my lungs and 7 heart attacks in 2 minutes. The doctor's talking on the phone because the emergency sirens are going off in the room I'm in, and he picks up the phone and says, yes, yes, he's here. I know he's dying and I can't do anything about it. Who do you think he was talking about? Me. Laying on a gurney in radiation imaging, and the blood clots that were in my leg coursed through my heart and lodged in my lungs. Well, why did that happen, pastor? Because I was stupid and I disobeyed him. People look at me and they say, but pastor, that's really harsh. Does God do that? Have you read that book? If you call upon the name of the Lord, you are no longer yours. If you call upon that name who is Jesus the Christ, God is going to rule and reign in your life. And you know what? If you read the book, you don't even have to call upon his name. You're already his. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He is the creator of us all. He is God whether we want him to be or not. And our world does not fear the Lord. Our world walks in a sense of arrogance that says, but it's all about me. I don't like this. It doesn't feel good. Do you think the cross felt good to Jesus? Do you think being separated from the Father for the first time in the existence of God was something that he relished? In fact, I think he said from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time, there was no connection between God the Father and God the Son. Couldn't be. Not while he was carrying our sin. Jesus feared the Lord. Wait a minute, isn't he God? Yes, but in his human form, while he was here, before his resurrection, he feared the Lord. He did what the Father asked him to do, and he didn't argue. How many of us argue with God? How many of us read this book and we say, oh, that was beautiful, and then we turn a blind eye to what we just read? It tells us we're supposed to have a heart of gratitude and an attitude of forgiveness, and we all walk there every day, don't we? I talk with you people, and you all talk with me. I'm fallen too. I gripe and complain. And when I do, that's rebellion against God. I'm not complaining about my brothers and sisters. I'm literally complaining about God because it's not going my way, because I don't fear him. And I think it's amazing because as the church, we look at this, and what does God say? How many of you read this with me? Okay, you know, some of us will sit there and we'll hear it, but how many of you read it with me? Does it not speak in here? If you read this, two little chapters, you know, not a whole lot of words, but how much blessing did we just speak to those who truly fear the Lord? How much goodness is going to come to those who fear the Lord? Does that mean we won't have trouble? No, we will have trouble. You will have trouble. Trouble's going to come and find you. It doesn't matter where you live or what you're doing, because we live in a broken world with people that don't fear the Lord, so they're going to do whatever they want to do. And it's going to affect us. I call it the butterfly effect. A butterfly beats its wings on the coast of Africa, and a hurricane stirs off of Florida. What? Did you ever notice that's where hurricanes come from? It generally starts as a storm off of Africa, and the dust gets up in the atmosphere, and as it goes over the ocean, it just gains strength until it hits Florida. Cause, effect. Cause, effect. Our sin is the cause, and the effect is what we're all seeing in our world today. All the stuff that is going on, all the lies, all the deception, all the hatred. You know, I think it's funny because there are those out there, they say, you know, we're the ones who are forgiving, we're the ones who are loving, and you people, you conservative Christians, you know, you're haters. I'm not a hater, I'm a lover. I want to love you to the righteousness of Christ, and I can't force you to do it. Can I get an amen? But I'm going to tell you about him. Well, you're a hater, you're a bigot because you don't accept these people. I'll accept every person. I don't care if you've got purple hair. I don't care if you're a guy that loves other men. I am going to love you the way Christ has loved me and allow you to see that he has created us in a certain manner, in a certain fashion, and because of sin in our world, we have changed. We have been the ones who have been darkened by sin, by perversion, and all these things that come at us, and when we fear the Lord, understanding that there is a way that is right, then when we walk in it, we will find the blessing of God. But all the time you are walking in your sin, all you're going to find is more and more hurt. Why? Did we not read that from verse or from chapter 1:12, where it says here directly to us? And I got to get to it. The wicked will see it and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. That means to go unto hell, brothers and sisters. That's the truth of it. You know, we want to see people vengeanced today, now. We want to see that, you know, oh, I want to see the vengeance of God on these people. You know, vengeance isn't mine. It belongs to the Lord. But boy, I can't wait to see it. You aren't going to want to see it. Do you realize that's why there's silence in heaven for a half an hour? Read it. It's two places. Chapter 8 in the book of Revelation and chapter 15, where it's explained even deeper. In it, the angels are getting ready to blow the seven trumpets and release the seven bowls. What are the seven trumpets and the seven bowls? They are the judgments of God unto the wicked. And for one half hour, and if you read chapter 8, you read, and it says that all the saints were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." And then all of a sudden, when the angels walk in with those trumpets, complete and total silence in heaven. Because the fear of the Lord just walked in. Because none of us want to see it. None of us want to see it. It's destruction. It's punishment. It's death. For God said, "Do not eat of this fruit, lest you die." And we eat of that stinking fruit every day. What's wrong with us? We have not fear of the Lord. And because we have not fear of the Lord, we are living in a world that is filled with trouble, and I want us to get out of it. Now, yeah, I want to get out of it through the rapture. Let's all say amen on that. but I'm not an escapist. I know there's work here for me to do and for you to do. And yes, the time is short, but that means not giving up. That means doubling down. Can I get an amen, church? And pulling it out and doing what is right. And I'm talking to you folks out there on the internet right now. Where you are, you may not be connected to us, but you are connected through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why everything's red here today. Because we are under the power, the unction of God Himself through the Holy Spirit on this day of days as we look at Pentecost and understand that by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, we operate as one. There's one church. You know, we call ourselves the Heart of Christ Church. But if we are truly the Church of Jesus Christ, we are just, we're a toe on this thing. We may not even be, we're the toenail. How's that sound? We're just a part of this. And it's far bigger than we could ever believe. And we need to be praying for our brothers and our sisters and looking at what can come to us. If we have the fear of the Lord, what can come to us? Well, we all know, we just read it, that wisdom, right? Oh, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How many of you know the fear of the Lord is so much more than that? Put these scriptures up for me, guys, if you're ready for it. I want to start with Proverbs 1 and 7. Proverbs 1 and 7. It'll take them a minute to get things flipped over. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Didn't we just say the fear of the Lord was the beginning of wisdom? Well, now here we're told the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. So it's both knowledge and wisdom. Huh. Because not only do we have to know, because that's knowledge, but then we need to know what to do with it. That's wisdom. Okay? If y'all remember from NCCS where we used to meet, it says in the cafeteria, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. It's that simple, all right? But it doesn't end there. God tells us more from Proverbs 10 and 27. There we go. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The fear of the Lord prolongs life. In other words, we get a longer life. Why is that? Because we walk in the blessing of the Lord. We walk in the sanctity of the Lord. We walk in the power of the Lord. Hence why we anointed Marion this morning, because we want Marion to experience that longer life. Can I get an amen? And in obedience is where we find that. Not only her obedience in coming, but our obedience in going. Loving God, loving others, and bringing the hope of Jesus Christ. And we will have a long life. Now, I want to talk to you about a long life. I'm not talking 74 years, 86, if by reason. I'm talking eternal life. Because it goes on after this one's over. Because this body passes away and we get a new one. Can I get an amen? And an hallelujah, because I'm tired of this one. It's falling apart. And I can't wait for the new one. So it prolongs life. Fear of the Lord prolongs life. The fear of the Lord also does some other things from 14 and 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. In other words, it keeps coming up that we will have life and have it what? Abundantly. That, how many people in this world do you all know walk around, this is terrible. All I do is get up in the morning and go to work and go home and work and then go to bed and get up and work. Oh my goodness. You know, on yesterday, I went down to Russell's farm. And guess what I did? I worked. Looking forward. Looking forward. And it was so amazing. Because we went up on the hill and we planted pumpkins. Okay? We put electric fence around our garden that we put in because the deer were eating too much of it. I'd like to have some of it. And while I was standing there, my daughter-in-law, I call her my daughter, Noelle, says to me, "Look at the corn, Dad." And we just planted it 2 weeks ago, and it's this high already. And it's beautiful. And I look at that, and I think, that's going to taste good. And I walked over to the sweet potatoes. And the sweet potatoes, man, the vines are looking good. And then I walked up to the potatoes. And it's like, well, they ain't coming out of the ground yet. Well, it's not time for them to come out of the ground yet. We got to wait. You see, we want it on our timeline, don't we? God says, oh, anticipation. That's the abundant life. We know that the work we do today will bring fruit tomorrow. We know that as we walk in these fountains of life, it will bring life tomorrow. That it's going to be abundant here and now. And that means I have work to do in it. But it's going to come up to the point where I'm going to be able to share this. And it's going to be more than I can contain or hold. And it's going to be pouring out so I get to bless others. That's a fountain of life. But does it end there? No. There's more. Proverbs 16 and 6. By loving kindness and truth, inequity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. Whoa. You mean to tell me if I walk in the fear of the Lord, evil's not going to be able to approach me? Yes. If you know something is wrong, if you know something is bad in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the ability to what? Say no and not do it. But if you're not in the Lord, it's all available, isn't it? And how many people fall to it? But we can say no. I know, okay? And I'm going to speak openly to us, all right? I know that I can go to the refrigerator and eat the whole chocolate cake. But that's not really good for me. I know that I can drive down here every night and get an ice cream on my way home from work. But that's not good for me. I mean, I have to think about, you know, what does it mean to be evil? Is eating ice cream evil? Well, if you're lactose intolerant, it can be. What am I getting at? I'm speaking the truth in very simple terms. Because you and I in Christ Jesus can say no, where before we couldn't. I think it's amazing because, you know, I think about people who deal with addictions. I'm talking drugs. I'm talking alcohol. I'm talking pornography. I'm talking cigarettes. I'm talking all the stuff, all right? And we all know we're all guilty of it. How many of us have addictions? And we can say no. But then that means we need to walk with the Lord in fear of the Lord, and we will have victory over these things. But the world can't find victory over it. Look at our world. How much of our world has made excuse after excuse after excuse for all this stuff? Oh, well, you know, that's happening to them because it's in their genes. Yeah, well, because you carry a flask in your pocket does not mean, yeah, gene pocket. Okay. No, it's not in your genes. It's not in your DNA. It's in your mind. It's in your mind. And when we fear the Lord, evil has no effect on us if we walk in that fear and shun it. Because I don't want the discipline of the Lord to come upon me. I don't want the evil in this world to come upon me. And I know if I don't fear the Lord, if I don't look to Him and say, Lord, I'm going to walk in your precepts, He's going to say, okay, you don't fear me, here you go. You get the precepts, you get the stuff that's going to come because you're not walking with me. It's yours. Own it. You chose it. Well, that's awful harsh, Pastor. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, it's the way it is. God loves us, and if we will obey him, he pours out kindness so great, so high, so wide, we can't contain it. I mean, I want you to think about, look at all that we've done in this place, okay? How easy would it have been to just simply stop and say it's too much? But we continue on. Why? Because we will not allow the evil in this world to prevail. We will come against it. This building is falling down. It's decaying. Okay, no, it's not falling down. It's in beautiful repair, but you get my point. What was behind this wall was atrocious. Well, what was, it's not no longer there. But we had to invest in it. We had to work in it because we didn't want that evil that was there, that darkness that was there to prevail. So what do? We bring light. I mean, that's why this is white. It was dark. How many of you remember? You know, it was beautiful in its day. But we need light because we gain wisdom through the light of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. It's on your bulletin. It's the very scripture on your bulletin. And that light draws us to life. But God's not done. It's not just that he keeps us away from evil. There's one more that I want you to look at, and this is 19 and 23. It says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. How many of us out there are having a hard time sleeping? Yeah. And I'm going to speak to that right now. Because you're not walking in the fear of the Lord. You are allowing the worries of this life to plague you rather than surrendering it. You aren't strong enough. You see, fear of the Lord is one thing and one thing only. It is understanding that you can't control anything, but he controls it all. And you trust him. And you obey him, and you walk with him. Because when you do, you'll sleep well at night, because the worries aren't yours, they're his. You know, I think it's funny, and ladies, I'm not picking on you, I'm just saying the difference between men and women, okay? Ladies worry about everything. And if we as your husbands don't show that we're just as concerned as you are, there's something wrong with us. No. God wired us different. If we can't do anything about it, we're just going to say, oh, well. But you ladies, oh my goodness, I'm married 40 years and I pray for 40 more. And I know I cannot change her. And I really don't want to, because then she wouldn't be the woman I love. You know that? That's the truth of it. But I know I'm going to have to deal with, oh, but what if? And you know, and I'm just going to hug her, and I'm going to say, it'll be okay, sweetie. God loves us, and he's got this. And the amazing thing, he always does. I can remember when I was in college, and we didn't have money, and we had bills coming due. And I'm not kidding you. It was not fun. I lost $60,000 a year when I went to college. $60,000 a year went away. We were living on $14,000. That's what Lynn made. And you know what happened? Every month, the bills got paid. And there were a couple times, how about it, Mama? Where we didn't know what was going to happen. And the day before the bill was due, a check would come in the mail. You think I'm lying? I'm not lying. God says you will sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Fear, dread fear, is of Satan. Fear of the Lord is a choice to say, you are God, and I humble myself to you. I come under your will. I wanted to wear the shirt today, but I couldn't find it. And then Lynn found it, and it was in the laundry. His will, his way, my faith. Because that's the truth of it. The fear of the Lord is not dread fear. It is knowing that He is God, and I have to submit to Him. And when I do, He protects me. How many of us submitted to our parents' will while we were children? Until we became teenagers, right? And then we rebelled against them. And that's when things started to hurt. I said to Brother Bob, I was going to be teaching on fear of the Lord and how, you know, when we disobey, the things that happen. And Brother Bob goes, he's showing me his scar under his neck. Yeah, do stupid stuff brings hurt. And I'm going to get this shirt. I swear to God, I'm going to get this shirt. It says, stupid should hurt. Because I'm going to tell you, that's how we learn. Can I get an amen? All of us are there. Kids, listen to me. There's a reason we're telling you not to do something. We did it, and it hurts. So don't do it. Grow up knowing and understanding that the fear of the Lord is where we need to walk. God knows the way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the perfect guide to get us there. Open your Bibles, two more scriptures, and then we're done today. And man, I'm going long. Do you not? Go ahead, turn here to Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. This is going to sound funny. I wanted to preach this sermon now for about 8 weeks. I probably have another 5 pages of notes. We're going to come back to this at a later time, and we're going to do a whole investigative thing on this. But Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. And this speaks of God understanding that we don't fear Him. And again, it comes back to where I began, that these things that God, you know, He wiped everything out because evil was getting so bad, the fear of the Lord was lost. And He said, there's one man that fears me, and He saved the world through that one man because He wouldn't destroy that one man. And we're all here. And then it got worse again. And finally, He said, I got to send my son. And they sent His son, and now we're under grace. But what did Jesus do when He was here? He taught us how to live. He is our guide from chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. It says, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from its roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of the counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hears. You and I need to understand, Jesus came. He trusted the Lord. He didn't work by his eyes. He didn't work by his ears. He worked by what? The power of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit teaches us to fear the Lord. And that's where we need to be. For when we are, all the good things that we read in Psalm 111 and Psalm 112 and the rest of the scriptures are going to be ours, where the glory of the Lord is going to pour out upon us. The love of the Lord is going to pour out upon us. And the hope of the Lord is going to pour out upon us. And we will fear no evil. We will see no evil. For it will be parted from us. Because we are under the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But you and I need to understand, God wants to speak to us too. Turn to Isaiah 33, last scripture. I swear I'm landing this plane. Isaiah 33, 2 through 6. Isaiah 33, 2 through 6. From the second verse of the 33rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, thus saith the word of the Lord. O Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you. Be their strength every morning, our salvation also in the time of distress. At the sound of the tumult, peoples flee. At the lifting up of yourself, nations disperse. Your spoil is gathered as the caterpillar gathers. As locusts rushing about, men rush about on it. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness, and he will be the stability of our times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Are we not the treasure of the Lord? Is it not our souls that he gave his life for? And that through the fear of the Lord. You and I need to understand, we are going to see, we are going to know the strength every morning, the salvation in our distress, and the fact that God gathers his people to him as it speaks to us in verse 4. When you and I walk in this truth that we truly fear the Lord, yes, because he is a great God, and it is a horrible thing to fall into the hands of a holy God, because destruction comes in a moment. But when we walk to him in Christ Jesus, he opens his arms wide and welcomes us as sons and daughters, and everything that he has, he gives to us. And that we know through his Son, our Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because he has not held back any good thing for those who are in Christ. But we must walk in fear. We must walk understanding that I have got to do what he says, when he says, how he says. He is God, I am not. And when we walk in obedience as a church, look what gets done. Can I prove it to you? I already did. How many of you have walked through this building today? How much work was done by non-professionals in how short a period of time? While you're all working full-time jobs. That's the power of the Lord. And you're living in it. You are that power when you walk in the fear of the Lord. Now, as you walked in the fear of the Lord, fixing this place up, how many of you were afraid of him? Not one of us, were we? Why, Bob? Because we were walking in his love, in the fellowship of other people, right? And that encourages us to do even more. It's understanding that the fear of the Lord is not a dread. The fear of the Lord is a refreshing drink unto the soul. For we know he is God, and we are not. Fear the Lord, brothers and sisters. Understand, there are so many people out there that are hurting because they don't. But may we show them the humility of our souls by submitting ourselves to their ridicule and understanding that when we fear God more than people, God will prevail. Amen? Father God, we come before you this day. Lord, as we end this sermon, we understand that coming under the fear of the Lord is the beginning of so much. It's life. It's hope, it's knowledge, it's wisdom, it's understanding. And Lord, we have a long way to go. But Father, you've placed us where we can take that fear out into this community. And may we stand in it. Because Lord, if we don't fear you, I fear that we will lose everything that we already have. And Lord, we know it, we've seen it. The seven churches of Revelation are gone because they did not continue walking with you in the fear of the Lord. And Lord, may we walk unto the day you call us all home. And may we truly be the church until the millennium. And then all that will be is the church. To thy name be true. To thine own self be the glory, both now and forever. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry. where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.